tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, right here at Coin 97, Coin General Hospital, KOIN Corporate, 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford faces a problem with labor over his veto of a bill the unions wanted him to sign. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The AFL-CIO confirmed Wednesday night that all nine labor members of the president's construction bargaining committee are thinking about resigning to protest Mr. Ford's veto of the construction picketing bill. The measure, long sought by labor, would have expanded union power in construction strikes by enabling workers to picket every site entrance instead of just that of the subcontractor being struck. The president had said he would sign the bill, but vetoed it after pressure was applied by industry leaders and Republican conservatives. The Construction Bargaining Committee is to meet Thursday morning. The AFL-CIO says the labor members will meet before the session to consider resigning. Labor Secretary John Dunlop has also threatened to resign over that veto. CBS News learned Wednesday that a new Gallup poll coming out will show President Ford's popularity continues to decline. The poll, to be published this weekend, will show approval at 37%, down 7% from November. More news in a moment.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contac. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contac. Its tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold to Contac. All day, all night. Full time. Use only as directed.
A medical crisis continues in parts of Southern California. With the new year, many doctors closed their offices and others have been refusing to perform all but the most badly needed operations. The problem is the cost of malpractice insurance. For some doctors, the rates jump more than 400%, and they're demanding the state do something about it. Alex Sullivan of Station KNX Los Angeles has a report.
More and more private hospitals are feeling effects of the doctor's slowdown as elective surgery dwindles. The three public Los Angeles County hospitals are operating near capacity with an early discharge policy to make room for those patients referred from private institutions. But some younger doctors there have threatened to resist any medical shortcuts. The slowdown is being felt most sharply in the San Fernando Valley, but not at all in Orange County, where the Medical Association has officially opposed any walkout until the state legislature acts to solve the problem of skyrocketing insurance premiums. But that could be a long way off because physicians generally oppose Governor Brown's trade-off request to treat more poor patients at lower fees. Alex Sullivan for CBS News, Los Angeles.
The stock market continued its upward course on Wednesday with very heavy trading. Details from Mitchell Krause.
The volume of shares traded was the third highest in the history of the market. Prices advanced broadly, twice as many stocks gained in value as lost, and a significant number of issues hit new highs for the year. All of the closing averages were higher. All four trading days of this 1976 session have ended higher. At one point, the market stood as high as 903 points, the highest it's been in 26 months. Market analysts remain bullish. They do expect some consolidation, perhaps some selling for profit, as the market pauses. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
So far, 1976 has been very good to the market since the first trading day last Friday. The Dow Jones Industrials have advanced 46 points. Sales figures in recent days have been looking good, but for all of last year, the nation's automakers suffered a decline. They reported Wednesday sales were off 2.5% from the low levels of 1974. One big problem was imports, which grabbed a record 18.3% of the market last year. The Federal Energy Administration is proposing a set of oil prices that could mean a very small decrease in the price of gasoline and home heating oil, perhaps a cent or a cent and a half a gallon. Now this.
Hello there, I'm Mike Roy.
And hello in here, Danny Bracken, looking into the wizardry on Mike Roy's cooking thing for tomorrow.
Get out the fife and drum and the colors, Danny. We're launching into a series of bicentennial recipes.
By golly, that's the spirit, Chef.
The spirit of 76. Starting tomorrow, every Thursday from now on, we'll have an authentic recipe from the early days with updated ingredients so you can fix them at home. Tomorrow, we'll dine with the Jeffersons at Monticello. We'll learn a little bit about bleaching flour, too.
Oh, that's on tomorrow. Mike's Patriotic Cook Thing, here on CBS.
Hello, this is Denise Nicholas, and I'd like to remind you that while the holidays are over, the work of the Christmas seal is not. That's the fight against such lung diseases as emphysema, asthma, and tuberculosis. And now, Christmas seals are also fighting for your right to breathe clean air again. It's not too late to answer your Christmas seal letter. It's never too late to fight disease and pollution.
Your Lung Association says it's a matter of life and breath.
Governor Patrick Lucey of Wisconsin says it's conceivable that fellow Democrats will be forced to draft Senator Edward Kennedy as their presidential candidate. Lucey says it is possible that Kennedy would accept such a nomination, despite his repeated statements that he does not want it. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, searchers hampered by bad weather failed to locate three missing mountain climbers on Mount Hood. Clackamas County Sheriff's Office says ground parties returned to Timberline Lodge tonight and that the search will be resumed in the morning. The three young climbers had planned to return Monday from a five-day hiking trip around the upper reaches of Mount Hood. They're believed to have enough food for a week, and they are well equipped. Armed manager of a North Portland nightclub was fatally shot after a seven-hour police siege on the club early today. 51-year-old Leroy Clark, armed with a shotgun and a revolver, died a few minutes after police charged into the club. Siege began last night when Clark fired three shots that emptied the bar of customers. No one was hit, though. Around midnight, a police sergeant was wounded with shotgun pellets when he entered the club to rescue the manager's wife. Officers who knew Clark tried to talk him into coming out of the club peacefully, and during the night, police lobbed tear gas into the club. Clark occasionally returned fire. Officers finally stormed the bar with guns blazing, and they shot Clark. Police have no idea what touched off all the shooting. Salem School District has won reclassification as conditionally standard after presenting a plan to correct problems at eight elementary schools and other facilities. The Corvallis Police Officers Association has been busy on a referendum drive to overturn an ordinance giving police and firemen the right to strike. So busy, in fact, the association failed to notify the city prior to January 1st that it wants to negotiate a new contract. And without such notification, the city's labor contract with policemen automatically is renewed for another year. A member of the Police Association's board of directors says the association plans to submit a request for contract talks right away. But the mayor of Corvallis says in these words, "If the association missed the deadline because of the petition drive, I'd say that's tough. I'd favor sticking to the contract. The association can't have its cake and eat it too." The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area, rain heavy at times tonight and Thursday with showers Thursday night, lows in the upper 30s, highs in the mid-40s. Chance of rain is 100% today, 100% tomorrow, 70% tomorrow night. At 11:08, you're up to the minute with Coin 97 News. I'm Tom Morgan.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Man, said Mark Twain, is the only animal that blushes, or needs to. And, of course, looking at it realistically, we have a great deal to blush about. According to Twain, our assorted stupidities come in all sizes and degrees of severity. But the greatest of these is self-importance. And not just the self-importance of individual people, but of entire nations. Look at some of the diplomatic games we play, and how easily they become serious matters of life and death.
I'm sorry, Major. I can do nothing.
But, Your Excellency, the young man is innocent.
I'm afraid he must be sentenced to 10 years in Siberia.
Amata, that's the same as a death sentence. Can't you help him, Your Excellency?
Please, Major. I sympathize with his youth and his ignorance. If only he had committed a crime like murder or arson or robbery or rape, we could get him off somehow. But to come into this country without a passport? Why, even the Tsar would hesitate to pardon him.
Our mystery drama, The Russian Passport, was adapted from the Mark Twain classic story, especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Robert Morse. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build LeSabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick LeSabre, free spirit in the family size.
Like choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt, the ingredients of great beer. And the Budweiser people list them on their label, the same way they brew them, with pride.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals his word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of his way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
We could say that Mark Twain was ahead of his time. We could also say that times never change, insofar as certain basics are concerned. Thus, the humor sermons Mark Twain preached against red tape, bureaucracy, the timidity of public officials, the suspiciousness between countries, are just as timely as ever. For instance, here we are in a giant beer saloon in the Friedrichstrasse in Berlin. Oh, in the year 1890. And over there, near the window, are about a dozen or so American students. And they are obviously holding a party for one of the number. And now, the party seems to be breaking up as one by one the young men take their leave. And finally, only two are left at the table.
But why go home now, Parrish?
Why? Well, the semester starts at Yale in less than 3 weeks, Ned.
I wish I had your chance to travel to see the world. I wish I had your money.
I'm homesick.
Homesick?
Yes. I'll make a confession, Ned. I was never away from home before.
You get used to it.
No, every day I get more and more lonesome.
Well, then why'd you make this trip?
It was a gift from my Uncle William. Mm-hmm. You don't turn down gifts from Uncle William.
It's a pretty expensive gift. Why would he want to give it to you?
Well, he said he hoped it would make a man out of me.
Huh? What do you mean by that?
Well, Uncle William was a trooper in Sheridan's cavalry, and later on he fought the Sioux under General Miles. And then he went to California. He made a fortune in a gold mine. And he doesn't think you're a man unless you're forever shooting someone or knocking him down. So you see, he's always been disappointed in me. I'm very shy. I don't know how to make friends.
Well, bottoms up, Alfred. You'll feel better.
No, I won't. I'll feel worse. You know, that stuff just goes to my head. That's another thing Uncle William has against me.
You just can't do anything manly, Alfred. Alfred, why, a better name for you would be Miss Nancy.
The best way to get even, Alfred, is to have a good time.
I just hate to travel alone.
But why?
Well, I'm scared.
Scared? At least see St. Petersburg before you leave.
I'd like to, but...
I'll tell you, Alfred, there is no city in the world like it.
Well, that's what everyone says. And you know, so I want to go, but I just can't go alone.
That's up to you, Alfred.
I already bought my ticket for Paris. I'm leaving tonight.
Well, I better be getting along. I have a lecture. Here, let me get the bill.
No, please. I'd like to treat it. It was so good to meet you and the rest of the boys to talk to Americans again.
Thanks, Alfred. And hey, believe me, there is nothing to be scared about all the time.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah. Have a good trip. I'll look you up when I get back to the States.
Of course, I'd never see him again. I'm not the kind of fellow people want to be friends with. I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm scared of my own shadow. I'm just afraid to be away from home.
Permit me to introduce myself. Major Tom Jackson, United States Army, retired. I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. Mr. Alfred Parrish, you are about to make the greatest mistake of your life.
I am?
And it makes me desperate to think you would cut your travel short when you really want to see St. Petersburg.
Well,
you do want to see St. Petersburg. Do you realize you're practically within sight of the place now?
I know, but...
Reconsider, Alfred, reconsider. St. Petersburg, a wonderland in the winter. The River Neva is frozen solid. Can you believe they build roads across that ice?
Roads?
Not just wagon roads. Railroad.
On the ice?
On the ice. And they string lights across it.
I'd give anything to go, but it's no use. You see, I'm a person who just can't travel alone.
Alone? You won't be going alone. Whatever gave you that idea? I'm going with you.
You? You're going?
My boy, I shall show you St. Petersburg as no foreigner has ever seen it. I know the place as well as I know my own hometown in America. Ask anybody. They all know me there.
But, you're too kind. I couldn't inconvenience you.
Oh, it's no inconvenience at all. I was going there tonight anyhow.
But I can't go. I mean, look at these. I mean, here are my tickets. I'm booked through to Paris.
Yeah, so you are.
And they don't let you change your tickets, and I can't afford to lose the money. And this 500 mark note is, it's all the cash I have, so I couldn't. I mean, you see, it's impossible.
You must never say impossible to your friend, Major Tom Jackson. Yeah, give me those tickets.
Wait, what are you doing?
They'll change these tickets for me. They all know me at the railroad station. Everybody knows me. Now, you just sit right where you are.
But...
And better let me have that 500 mark bill, too. We may have to pay a bit extra for your new reservation.
But, Major... But he was already out the door. It was all so sudden, so... It was so incredible, so impossible. It could only happen to me. I wanted to shout, "Stop that man!" But my lungs, they were empty. I wanted to run after him, but my legs were paralyzed. This man, this shopper, this confidence operator, he's stolen my money, my tickets. I've got to catch him, but I can't even get out of this place. I don't have the money to pay my bill. I'll have to explain all this to the waiter.
Yeah.
That man who is just here, you understand?
Next question.
All right. My tickets.
Was ist?
I'm trying to tell you.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No, I'm trying to tell you that he took my money and my tickets.
Yeah. Sehr gut.
The waiter just shrugged his shoulders and walked away. I didn't know what to do or where to go or what kind of a fool I was to allow a stranger to just walk off with me. And suddenly, his hand was on my arm, the Major.
Quickly! There's not a moment to lose. Come!
But where are we?
I'll explain on the way. Hurry, right out the door. Let's go.
But where?
Cab! Hi there, cabbie! Oh, confound these people. I was delayed at the ticket window. A new man there. He didn't know me. Okay, here you are. Right here, cabbie! In you go, Alfred, my boy.
You still haven't told me.
All in good time. Our Russian consulate, cabbie, and we'll fly. No man at the window didn't know me. Wouldn't make the exchange. Too irregular.
Well, then...
I had to hunt up an old friend, the station master himself, the grand high mogul. All right, whoop along, cabbie. Don't let him go to sleep on us now. Well, it all took time, but it's all right now. Your luggage is rechecked. Fare, ticket, sleeper, all exchanged. Got the documents in my pocket.
But...
What?
I left the beer hall without paying my bill.
Oh, that's all right. They know me. Everybody knows me. I'll square it for you next time I'm in Berlin. Push him along, cabby. Push along.
He was a big, powerful-looking man, just like Uncle William. But unlike Uncle William, he had such an honest, open face. How could I have even thought of mistrusting him? Suddenly I felt much better. Maybe some of his sublime self-confidence might rub off on me. And so, feeling better than I had ever felt in my life, I leaned back and enjoyed the ride to the Russian consulate. But we must have arrived there too late, because the guard at the gate tried to stop us. However, the major merely said,
"That's all right, Sergeant. I'm Major Jackson. They all know me inside."
At least that's what I think he said, because he said it in Russian. Anyhow, he just led me past the soldier, up the steps and into the building. There was a clerk sitting at a desk, and the major began to talk to him. I couldn't follow a word of the conversation because it was all in Russian.
Impossible, impossible. It is after hours.
Oh, come now. You can surely visa this young man's passport to St. Petersburg.
But, my dear sir, I am not authorized.
Then fetch the consul.
But the consul has gone.
And he'll be back?
Tomorrow morning.
Thunder.
Major, is everything all right?
Just fine, Alfred, my boy. Just fine. Well, now, look here, my man. I'm Major Jackson. He knows me. Everybody knows me. Just visa the passport for me yourself.
What?
Well, there's nothing to it. Just visa the passport yourself.
Oh, no. That's irregular. That's so... Oh, no.
But
no.
Our train leaves tonight.
I couldn't. I'm a married man.
Everybody knows.
I have children. Ask me to do anything, but not to visa a passport.
No, I tell you what we'll do then. Here's the stamps and the fee. Have him visa it in the morning and send it after us by mail. He'll do that, I know. Well?
He may. Perhaps he may.
May? He will. He knows me. Everybody knows me.
I'll tell him what you said, but, you know, you realize that you will get to the frontier 24 hours before the passport will arrive, and you cannot spend 24 hours at the frontier waiting for it. There are no accommodations.
Who said we're going to wait at the frontier? Send the passport along to St. Petersburg.
But they will stop him at the frontier if he has no passport. They won't let him into Russia.
Very well. Very well. The chief inspector knows me. Everybody does. I'll be responsible for this young man.
Oh, the penalty for being in Russia without a passport is 10 years in Siberia. Damnation.
Major, did I hear you say damnation? Is something the matter?
No, it's all right, Alfred. I promised you St. Petersburg. I will get you St. Petersburg. Now, look here, my man. You just get the consul to visa that passport and mail it to St. Petersburg first thing.
But I...
Don't worry. I can fix it. They all know me there. All the authorities, everybody. Alfred... Say goodnight to this very kind gentleman.
I don't know Russian.
That's all right. Say it in English.
Goodnight, sir. Major, did you take care of everything?
Let's be off at the train station, Alfred. You don't have a worry in the world.
Somehow, things cannot possibly run as smoothly as the Major would have us, or even himself, believe. But why can't they? Well... We're about to board the Berlin-St. Petersburg Luxury Express, where further intrigue and excitement await us. And people will be around to inquire about that passport in just a few moments, when I shall return with Act Two.
What will a penny buy these days besides a gumball or a one-cent stamp? Well, I'll tell you, it'll buy a 6-foot Lufkin tape measure from your nearby True Value hardware store. Hi, Pat Summerall here with the details. When you visit a participating True Value hardware store and buy the Lufkin 25-foot power return tape at its regular price of just $6.97, you get a 6-foot slimline tape measure for just 1 cent more. The Lufkin 25-foot tape locks open for easy, accurate measuring. Then it retracts automatically at just a touch of the power return button. The safety yellow blade is easy to read and easy to see. And the rugged chrome case lasts for years. Buy this professional quality tape measure for just $6.97 and get the Lufkin 6-foot slimline household tape for just 1 cent more. Find out just how much a penny is still worth during the Lufkin 1 cent sale at your participating True Value hardware store. Look under hardware in the yellow pages and remember you can charge it on Master Charge at many stores.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Share a ride with a friend. Drive together and the time you spend will speed along as you go your way.
Go up every morning. Go up going home at night. Go up every day. It's a better way. You gotta have more fun together.
We're talking about the latest guy. We pass away the miles. Glad that I'm not driving home alone.
Talking about the game last night. A guy made a play that was out of sight. It's nice to talk to someone going home.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
It's driving alone.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Advertising Council.
And what is Major Tom Jackson, this big, bluff, and charming man who seems to sweep all objections aside and whose slogan seems to be, everybody knows me? Well, no matter, because at this time, he seems to be exactly what poor, shy, self-effacing, timid Alfred Parrish needs. Here they are on the luxury express bound from Berlin to St. Petersburg, at their ease in a beautifully appointed compartment, sipping expensive wines and enjoying all manner of delicacies. What a life, says Alfred Parrish. I never knew life could be so happy, so easy, so comfortable.
Yes, life I see now is a matter of who you happen to fall in with. If my Uncle William had been a man like Major Jackson, how different everything might have been. Well, maybe it's not too late now. For the very first time, I don't feel alone or friendless or unimportant. And what's more, I'm not even homesick.
My boy, look at yourself in the mirror. It proves my point.
What point, Major?
We advertise to the world exactly what we are. What does your face usually proclaim? Fear. Uncertainty. Now, that won't do.
But there are times when I am afraid and uncertain.
Shouldn't that be your secret? Now, my boy, look in the mirror and smile. Just smile. That's it. Now, here's what I want you to say to yourself. I, Alfred Parrish, fear nothing and nobody.
Oh, but it isn't true.
Say it.
I, Alfred Parrish...
That's it.
I, Alfred Parrish, fear nothing and nobody.
There. You see? You see?
What?
Whose face is that in the mirror? Who is that cocky, confident, self-assured, important young man?
It can't be me.
But it is. It is.
But I don't feel confident.
Who's to know the difference? You see, to the rest of the world, you're a tiger.
Well,
that's my great gift. I've taught hundreds, thousands how to become commanding personalities.
You have?
Oh, yes. Especially among the crowned heads of Europe.
You mean kings?
Oh, yes. Well, they know me. They all know me. Now, you take the Crown Prince of Austria. He has a very strong father, much like your Uncle William.
Oh.
And the Crown Prince of England. Why, he's a man of almost 50 and still under his mother's thumb. Well, I taught them the tricks. Yes, indeed. You got to show your colors. And if they aren't your true colors, who's to know better? Now, the trick is to look a person in the eye. All right, do it. Look me in the eye. Oh, but you have to hold your head up. See what it does for you when you hold your head up? Snap your fingers.
I never seemed able to get the knack of it.
That's no matter. Now say to me, my good man.
My good man.
Oh, no. Put some starch in it. As if you're doing me a favor by even talking to me. Now, go ahead.
My good man.
Ah, now you're getting the hang of it.
Well, we seem to be slowing down.
Of course. We're just about at the Russian frontier.
You know, so much of what you say, it is so true. It's not really what you are. It's what other people think you are.
And what would you like to make people think you are?
Well, I would like to be treated with respect.
Such a little thing to ask. And you know how to get it?
No.
Easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is demand it. Oh, here we are. About to embark on a great new voyage of discovery for you, Alfred. Russia. Ancient, mysterious Russia.
Is this where they'll ask to see our passports?
Of course.
Well, come to think of it, when we were back at the consulate, you know, the Russian consulate back there in Berlin?
Yes?
Well, I don't exactly remember your bringing my passport away from the consulate with you, but of course you did. I mean, you do have it, don't you?
No.
No.
No, it's coming by mail.
Coming by mail?
Certainly.
I have heard stories of what can happen to foreigners in Russia who do not have passports.
The chief inspector at the frontier knows me. I'll explain to him that your passport's en route. It'll be all right, you'll see.
Oh.
Now, just look in that mirror, Alfred. Let's see that cool, calm, clear-eyed look of confidence.
But I don't feel it.
Let's see it anyhow.
At the frontier, which was just a guardhouse and fence, everyone got off the train, and we waited while the slow-moving line inched toward the inspectors. My heart naturally was in my mouth, but I looked at the major, and he was so supremely confident I couldn't help but feel everything would have to be all right.
Now, you're not to worry. I said I'd make it all come out right, didn't I?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, there's no reason why you and I should stand out here freezing in this cold.
But we have to wait till we get to the head of the line.
You just stand here. I'll go up and explain matters to the chief inspector. We'll be sitting cozy and warm in our compartment in 3 days.
Major, is everything all right?
Damnation!
Well, what happened? What
it's
happened?
A new chief inspector, and I don't know him.
Oh, no. This is impossible. I'm not going...
Don't. Steady, lad, steady.
I don't have a passport.
I told you it'll be all right. Just trust the old major. This new inspector, he's as nearsighted as a shad. I watched him examine the other people's passports, and it's a fact.
What?
Just listen. I'll go up, get my passport approved, and then I'll step over to the fence. You see over there?
Yeah.
Where those peasants are standing with their packs?
Yes.
Now, you just mosey up against that fence.
Oh, no.
And I'll slip you my passport right through the bars of the fence.
What are you saying?
Then you get on the regular inspection line. Hand it over and trust in Providence and the fact that the inspector has the eyesight of a shad. You'll pull through, never fear.
But the description on the passport...
Ah, what about it?
It is your description. It describes a man of 50, and I'm only...
That's all right. I told you the man has the eyes of a shad.
Shad.
He couldn't see the difference if his life depended on it.
But my life depends
Don't
on it.
Don't you fret. It'll come out right as nails.
But when I hand him your passport...
You won't be handing him my passport. It'll be your passport.
What do you mean?
You'll hand it to him as if it's your passport. As if there can be absolutely no doubt. As if you're a man of importance, whereas he is just a flunky. Let him see all that.
No, I can't. I can't do it.
You must.
No, I don't.
don't have to. I can wait. I can wait right here and take the next train back to Germany.
There won't be another train until tomorrow morning.
That's all right. I'll wait.
Where?
Right here.
What? Here?
Yes.
In this open field, in the snow, in the dead of winter? You know how cold it gets.
But I can't go any further. I don't have a passport.
But you do have a passport, old boy. Now, Alfred, please. It's easy as pie. Old Fisheye will just wave you in.
I don't know if I can go through with this.
Of course you can. Confidence, Alfred. Remember what I told you about confidence?
But how could I have confidence? I was in a daze. The major had moved up ahead. He had his passport examined, and now he sauntered over to the fence. He motioned for me to come forward, but I was in a daze. Somehow, I got to the fence, and the major pressed the passport into my hand, and then he was gone. I managed to get to the end of the line. Everybody was headed toward a tall, burly, bearded officer, the fiercest-looking man I'd ever seen in my life. He could even have frightened my Uncle William, and he kept shouting,
"Sergeant! Sergeant!"
which I later found out meant, "Enter." And then before I knew it, there was no one in front of him but me. And he held out a big, beefy hand for the passport. And before I knew it, he had snatched it from my grasp. And his eyes bored deep into mine. They were eyes that were filled with hard and pointy lights of ice and steel. And they didn't look like the eyes of a shad or a yellowfish either. But they were eyes to pierce into the very marrow of your bones. And he looked at the passport, and he looked at me, and he looked at the passport, and he looked at me, and he looked at the passport, and he looked at me, and I was about to scream, I confess, when suddenly he thrust the passport back into my hand and bellowed,
Charge it.
My boy, you were magnificent. I could hardly believe it was you. Why, you slapped that passport into his hand and looked at him. I believe it was the most supercilious look I've ever seen.
I was scared to death.
Looking at the two of you, I would say he was scared to death.
Oh, no.
Alfred, you have no idea how commanding a presence you have once you turn it on.
Is that a fact?
Now, you see? I said to you, trust in Providence. And it always comes out right. The fact is, you were meant to see St. Petersburg, and nothing is going to stop you.
Yes, it does seem to be working so far.
My boy, this is only the beginning of a new Alfred Parrish. Parrish? The adventurer.
Oh,
you mean you wouldn't like that?
Oh, I certainly...
All it takes is confidence.
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 Confidence. All I had to do was just listen to him, and life became worth living. It was a joy. He made me feel that everything and anything was possible, that whatever I tried would have to succeed. And, oh, yes, by the time the train reached St. Petersburg, I was in what my mother would call high feather and fine form. And we took a cab to the Hotel Europa, and we walked into that lobby, arm in arm.
Your passport, Major?
May I?
Thank you. And may I have Mr. Parrish's passport?
Well, that's perfectly all right. The young gentleman's passport is on its way.
Major, are you saying this gentleman does not have a passport?
It's coming by mail.
But at this point, it does not exist.
It exists in a mail bag, in the mail coach, on tomorrow's Berlin-St. Petersburg Express.
But it does not exist here and now.
Is something wrong, Major? Remember what you told me. Don't take guff from these foreigners.
Yeah. Well, now look here, my man. You know me. I'll be responsible.
I wish I could accommodate you, Major.
Major, what is wrong?
He has no passport. Therefore, I must ask him to leave the premises.
Now, just a moment, my good fellow.
I cannot allow him to remain under this roof another moment.
Major, please explain.
Major, this young man is an illegal person. He has no status. He must leave. I must call the police.
Major.
I have no choice. I must call the police.
Major.
No, my friend. Surely you wouldn't do that. You couldn't. Why, a little thing like a passport that we can straighten out and...
Yes, maybe police immediately.
Major, was that word that he used, police?
No, boy, don't get hold of yourself. Whatever you do, don't faint. Oh, my Lord, a clerk, do you have some smelling salts?
In just a moment, Major, as soon as I complete this call to the police.
Police.
Has Major Jackson come to the end of his rope? Although we shouldn't put it quite that way, for if this is the end of the rope, at the end of that rope, we will find poor Alfred Parrish. Yes, a long, twisting rope that holds together a convoy of prisoners bound for the snowy wastes of Siberia. Is there hope for poor Alfred? Well, there's a third act, and I shall be here with it in just a few moments.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment and a promise to keep brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, and with a Beechwood-aged taste that speaks for itself. Hear it talking? Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I wanted more out of life than a 9-to-5 desk job. I love people, and I love to help them. That's why I chose a health career.
We're in a Jeep, riding along with Ellen Peach, a nurse practitioner, as she makes her rounds in Treasure Valley, Idaho.
I bring health care to people in areas where the nearest hospital and doctor may be 40 miles away. It's hard work, but the rewards make up for it. A smile, a hug, little things that say I'm loved and needed.
Ellen's job is only one of more than 200 different careers in the health field. Some take years to learn, others just a few months. Do you want more out of life than a 9-to-5 job? Write for our free booklet, 200 Health Careers. The address is National Health Council, Box 40, Radio City Station, New York, New York, 10019. Put your love to work in the health field. A public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Well, now, you know your own name, and you know who you are. But can you prove it? For instance, if you were to find yourself among strangers, your word would be meaningless. Proof of your identity could only be established by a piece of paper, which, if you consider it, is rather ironic. Given a choice of believing flesh and blood or lifeless paper and ink, we choose the document every time. How sad. How catastrophic. For Alfred Parrish.
There's no need to call the police.
Major, this young man has no passport. This fact makes him a criminal. If I fail to report him, I become an accessory.
Major, what have you done to me?
Hello, police.
I'm going to be arrested. Oh, Major, this is the end.
Never say die, my boy.
Now come with me.
Where?
Quickly, out the door. Hurry. Now don't fret. It'll come out all right.
Cab, pull here.
Major, what is going to become of me? The last time I got into a cab with you...
In you go. That's it. Cabby, palace of the general of the secret police. And turn them loose, cabby. Let them go. Make them whiz.
Major, I'll never see my home again.
Nonsense. Prince Boslovsky knows me. He knows me like a brother. He'll fix everything.
He will.
You know what he'll say? He'll say... You're not to worry about any of this nonsense.
Major, it's just that I heard these horrible stories.
That's ridiculous, my boy. The prince and I are old friends. You'll deny me nothing.
possible.
How about your excellence?
Out of the question.
It's such a little thing.
It cannot be done.
Major, what is he saying? What's he saying?
Oh, well, yes. My boy, he's being very sympathetic. You have nothing to worry about.
Major, I'm afraid this interview is ended.
But your excellency, I will be responsible for him.
Major, I must say that you have done an insane thing to bring this lad into the country without a passport. I marvel at it. Why, it means 10 years in Siberia for him. And there is no way to prevent it. I marvel at this, Major.
What was he saying?
Start to groan.
Why?
And moan. Mama. Oh,
why?
Mama.
Why?
It might help.
And so, Major, if you'll excuse me.
Oh, Mama.
Splendid.
Oh. Bernhard herself couldn't beat it.
If it were anything else, if only he had been guilty of murder, arson, rape, a pardon would be a mere formality. But to be without a passport, even the Tsar himself would hesitate.
Your Excellency, all I ask is 24 hours. In that time, the passport will have arrived.
I am very sorry.
Oh, Mama! Your Excellency, you're a father. You have a son. Can't you find it in your heart?
It was a foolhardy thing to do.
I agree.
You deserve a sharp lesson.
Without question.
Oh. All right. It's against my better judgment, and if it comes out, it could destroy my career.
God will reward you.
I give you exactly 24 hours to the minute. If the passport has not arrived, if it is not in his possession, do not dare to come near me again. It's Siberia for this young man without hope of reprieve.
My dearest mother, when these sad lines shall have reached you, your poor Alfred will be suffering a fate worse than death. Through my own fault and foolishness, I have fallen into the hands of a sharper or a lunatic. It doesn't matter which. But I think he is only mad, for he has a good, kind heart, and he tries so desperately hard to help me, but each attempt just ends in complete disaster. And in a few hours, I shall be one of a nameless, hopeless horde plodding the snowy solitudes of Russia, bound for that land of misery and oblivion, Siberia. There is no escape. An officer of the secret police sits silently in my room, watching, waiting.
Well, how did everyone sleep? I must confess, I popped off at once. Well, Alfred, had your breakfast?
How can you think of food?
Oh, come. A hot meal will make you sing another tune.
Do you realize I am going to be sent to Siberia?
I realize nothing of the sort. Even now, your passport is on the train. It's coming here. It will arrive well ahead of schedule. There isn't a thing in the world to worry about.
And before I knew it, he had convinced me. Once again, he had convinced me that there wasn't a thing to be worried about. And there we were, sitting in the dining room of the hotel. Shouldn't the mail be in by now?
Yes, I would say the train has already arrived. The mail has been sorted, and delivery to the hotel is a matter of minutes.
In about 45 minutes, the 24 hours will be up.
Suppose we saunter over to the desk and see my old friend behind the counter.
Major, you are sure the Russian consulate in Berlin sent it?
My boy, nothing to worry about. Nothing at all.
Yes, gentlemen.
Is there any mail for me?
The mail has not arrived.
It hasn't arrived?
No, Alfred, there's nothing to be excited about. Is it due soon?
Usually comes at this time. A few minutes earlier, a few minutes later.
Hey, see, my boy, no problem at all.
Tell me, have either of you gentlemen seen the afternoon paper? Interesting article here on the vault.
There.
vault?
Yes. Actually, it is a prison cell on wheels in which serious criminals are transported to Siberia.
Siberia.
The convict is placed inside, and the door is then closed. Yes, it cannot be opened again. No, not until the vault arrives in Siberia.
Why not?
Well, because the only key that opens it is in Siberia.
Suppose someone is placed in there by mistake.
Well, I would say it's his hard luck. He can't be taken out until he reaches
Siberia.
But the chances are he wouldn't get there alive anyhow.
Alfred?
I don't feel so good.
Confidence, my boy, confidence. The mail will be delivered at any moment, and all your troubles will be over.
Excuse me?
Telephone.
Yes. Frandesc? Yes? Was that... Oh, I see. Thank you. Goodbye. Well, gentlemen, if you're waiting for the mail, I'm sorry to disappoint you. The Berlin train has been delayed.
Wait, what are you saying?
There was an accident on the track.
The mail. The mail that... The mail must be delivered, don't you understand?
Well, it will be delivered, but 3 hours late.
3 hours? I don't have 3 hours. I'm done for.
No, my boy, chin up. I'll think of something.
They'll put me in... You heard him, the vault? The vault? It's a steel wagon dragged to Siberia like an animal in a cage.
I've got it.
No, what are you... You've got... It's no use. Nobody can help me. Nothing can help me. Siberia.
Forget the passport.
What do you mean, forget the passport?
Cheer up! Huh? We can do without it. Guards, come along. We're headed for the American Embassy. I had that card up my sleeve all the time. The minister knows me. We were wounded together at Cold Harbor. Been chums ever since.
Major, you wouldn't hold out false hope to a poor condemned...
Everything's splendid. Our troubles are at an end. If we ever really had any... We are going to get you a new passport.
Well, I am only a secretary of the legation, you see, and I wouldn't like to authorize a passport while the minister is on Russian soil. You have no idea of the responsibility.
All right, send for the minister.
Well, that's easier said. You see, he's up in the wild somewhere on his vacation.
Great Scott!
What are you great Scotting about, Major? The prince gave you 24 hours. You've got an hour and a half left. The train is just due. The passport will arrive in time.
The train is expected to be 3 hours late. This lad's life is ebbing away. In that half hour, he's the same as dead and damned to eternity.
I am? Oh, I see the ghastliness of the situation, but what can I do?
Hang it. Write him a passport.
But it's impossible. It's totally impossible. How do we know who he is? Now, you yourself only met him 2 days ago. So, you see, there is no way in the world to identify him. Oh, he's lost. There is no possibility of saving him.
Now, look here.
Now, the rules say identification must be positive. Now, would you want me to make a mistake and lose my job?
Oh, Lord, it's the last day on this earth for Alfred Parrish.
I will be responsible.
Well, wait. Shh, wait. Is your name Alfred Parrish?
Yes.
And where are you from?
Bridgeport.
Bridgeport. Oh, yeah. Were you born there?
No. New Haven.
Mr. Secretary, is it possible that you...
No. I must be positive. How long did you live in New Haven?
Till I was 14. Mm-hmm. I came back 2 years ago to enter Yale.
When you lived in New Haven, what street?
West Street?
Yes.
What street? It was Parker Street.
Mr. Secretary, if you can identify him, please do so.
I must be positive beyond the shadow of a doubt.
That time is running out. The secret police will soon drag him.
Shh. What number, Parker Street?
What number?
Think, lad. Think, the clock is moving.
But it didn't have a number.
Ha, ha, there, shouldn't that...
Now, what kind of house was it?
Brick, a two-story.
A flush with the sidewalk?
Small yard in the front.
Iron fence?
No palings.
Mr. Secretary, there's almost no time left.
Now, what do you see when you enter the door?
What is the difference? What do you want to torture me? I'm as good as dead.
What do you see?
I don't. A narrow hall, door at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hat rack.
Parlor?
Yes?
Mr. Secretary, when the clock strikes six, this boy will be arrested and lost to all the world.
Carpet on the floor.
Yes.
Yeah, now, what kind?
Old-fashioned Wilton.
Design?
Oh, hawking party on horseback.
Room next to the parlor?
Dining room.
Did your parents own or rent the house?
We, owned it.
Did you have a nickname among your playmates?
Answer him. Mr. Secretary, surely by this time you ought to know.
Sir, we have clearly defined procedures. Now, did you have a nickname?
Well, they called me... Miss... Nancy.
Surely, sir, that should be something.
Any ornaments in the dining room?
No.
And none at all?
Think, lad, think. You have less than a minute?
You mean there wasn't even a picture?
Oh, but you said ornament.
Yes, yes, and what did your father think of the picture?
Speak, yes, Alfred, speak.
I can't tell you what he said.
You must.
Quick,
we're almost out of time. Home and liberty.
Oh, have pity.
Or death in Siberia depend on your answer.
Well, have pity, he's a clergyman.
Look, out with it. What did he say?
He said it was the hell-firedest damn nightmare he ever saw.
Saved! Oh, I will write you a passport. I can now legitimately identify you beyond any shadow of a doubt. I have lived in that house. And I painted that picture myself. Saved. Give thanks, my fortunate friend. You see, I told you, trust in Providence. And let us be grateful to God that he made this artist. If indeed he really did.
Did Alfred have a good time in St. Petersburg? We don't know. Mark Twain doesn't say. And although what he writes is always fascinating, what he doesn't write is, in many cases, even more so. For instance, who is Major Jackson? And why? A most mysterious man. But this spot on the dial is the place where such people are encountered. I shall be back shortly.
Children make a lot of noise, but to me it's a wonderful sound. They have a lot of energy, a lot of playing to do before they take on the serious world of adulthood. Every day they take on a bit more of this wonderful world. I guess we're lucky. Because there are so many places in the world where the children are too weak, even for play. Bangladesh, Honduras, right here at home. They're weak from the lack of protein and essential vitamins. Weak from the bad water and the parasites that rob them of important nutrients. A childhood of tears instead of laughter. And even if they do manage to become adults, their minds and limbs will be stunted by chronic malnutrition. You can help a child to grow up strong and independent. Maybe even be one of tomorrow's leaders. Send your contribution to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
Stories must have heroes and villains, and Mark Twain's tales are filled with a great many of each. But not all villains are actually conscious of their villainy. It is possible for the greatest crimes to be performed by fairly decent people in the routine performance of their legitimate duties. But you'll find nothing routine here at this spot on your dial, seven times each week. Our cast included Robert Morse, Robert Dryden, Russell Horton, Earl Hammond, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
Burn him!
Then let it be done day after tomorrow, the 21st day of the month, at high noon.
This is not the usual manner. They do not kill. They hold for ransom.
Well, Clarence, don't worry about it.
Well, you say I'm not to worry, but
They burn me at the stake high noon the day after tomorrow.
No, Clarence. They won't be able to swing it. I won't be here.
Well, I wit not what thou sayest, Sir Boss. Where shall thou be?
In Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, is that the place of magic and enchantment where Sir Kay captured thee?
Oh, it's a place of magic and enchantment, I guess. In some ways.
But dost thou intend to return there?
Oh, I don't have to return. I never left.
Sir Boss, my poor wits cannot understand.
Don't worry about me, Clarence. I'm still there. Oh, well, all this is only a dream.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN, Portland, Music Radio 97. CBS News is next. The time in the Pacific Northwest is 12 midnight.
CBS News. South Africa is reported ready to pull its troops out of Angola in the next 48 hours. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Authoritative administration sources disclosed last night that South Africa had communicated its readiness to withdraw its forces from Angola. The sources say the remaining problem is how to pressure Cuba to withdraw its 7,500 troops it has committed to assisting the popular movement for the liberation of Angola. The State Department officially denies knowledge of the South African communication, leading to speculation the dispatch went directly to the White House. Earlier in the day, the White House labeled the presence of two Soviet warships off the Angolan coast evidence of continued Soviet involvement in an area where they have no legitimate interest. Presidential Press Secretary Ron Nessen labeled as irresponsible a statement by Senator John Tunney that he had received information U.S. cargo planes have been making daily flights into Angola from Zaire. But Tunney wasn't willing to reverse his field because of the Nessen charge.
I want a denial across the board from the administration, if they can give it, that there are no C-130s flying in, there are no Americans flying those planes, and that there is no money that is being used directly or indirectly by any government or any group which comes from the Treasury of the United States to support these efforts to move arms from there into Angola. And if the president makes that statement, then I will accept that statement.
Tunney, the California Democrat, says in no way are vital U.S. interests involved in the Angola situation. Britain last night called for an immediate ceasefire in Angola, the withdrawal of foreign troops, and the ban on arms deliveries. CBS News continues after this.
Now, from Business Week, here is Peter Roberts with your summary of the top business stories to expect in 1976. In Washington, look for Congress to hammer out new tax legislation that can vitally affect your business. Watch for monetary strategy by the Federal Reserve that can influence the course of the nation's economic recovery, and plan investment opportunities in light of new SEC regulations that can dramatically reshape the markets. Elsewhere, stay abreast of new challenges faced in the marketplace by major industries such as oil, autos, steel, and agriculture. Watch key executives work out new marketing strategies as economic conditions change, and stay on top of the problems that state and municipal governments face in this year's growing cash crunch. For answers to these and other tough business questions, you need Business Week. This week's issue of Business Week is on newsstands now. Pick up your copy today. Business Week. When it comes to news, it's all business.
President Ford's campaign leaders say a poll showing a 7% drop in Mr. Ford's popularity since November is a temporary setback resulting from voter apathy. A spokesman for Ronald Reagan offered the opinion the figures mean the country is looking for leadership. CBS News learned that a Gallup poll taken last month just after he returned from China and due out this weekend shows public approval of the way in which President Ford handles his job has dropped to 37%. That's only 2 percentage points higher than his lowest popularity rating since taking office. The low point on thermometers in the icebox northern portions of Minnesota, as low as 40 degrees below zero, fanned by 30-mile-an-hour winds, is causing a power problem. Details from Hugh Strawn of CBS radio affiliate WCCO.
The cold snap is straining the ability of Minnesota's largest electrical co-op to keep up with demand. United Power Systems serves 145,000 customers in three-quarters of the state. Spokesman Don Jacobson is asking customers to conserve power until the weather moderates.
With the extremely cold weather and the wind chill, furnaces will kick on more during the evening and run almost constantly. Some people install electric space heaters, plug them in to help ward off the chill. And then, of course, in the evening hours, everybody has their lights on, the TVs are working, and just every little bit adds up to increase that load, especially in the extremely cold weather. It really gets us.
Jacobson says conservation will prevent selective brownouts or system failure during the critical period. Sub-zero temperatures are forecast for the next 2 days. This is Hugh Strawn for CBS News in Minneapolis.
First down and goal to go. At the 4-yard line is Joe Kapp. And that deep holding again will be quarterback Lenny Dawson. The ball is down. The kick's up. It's in over in. Taylor breaks.
The sounds of the Super Bowl. Great moments from great games of the past. That's what you're going to hear January 17th and 18th as we bring you a Super Bowl 10 weekend. Win Elliott here. And throughout that weekend, I'm going to bring you 28 different broadcasts before and after the game. Action highlights, player comments, and reflections on the 9 big Super Bowl contests of history. The game, of course, Super Bowl 10, all of it, exclusively on radio over most of these CBS radio network stations with Jim Kelly and Ed Ingalls. They'll bring you every minute of the action and color. This year, the Super Bowl's more than just a game on CBS radio. It's a whole weekend. The game on Sunday and my 28 highlights of Super Bowl history. That's Saturday and Sunday, January 17th and 18th, on most of these CBS radio network stations.
A landslide on a highway some 12 miles southeast of Caracas, Venezuela, is reported to have killed at least 4 people. Heavy rain loosened the hillside, which buried at least 8 cars. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on COIN 97, my name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30. Good morning. Welcome to the Moonwatch.
Ooh, la, la.
That's Jonathan King and Una Paloma Blanca. At 9 minutes after 12 midnight, with Bill Garrity on the moon watch, the weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver. I bet you're wondering what it's going to do. Well, let's see. We have a couple of choices, but the one we're going to pick is rain. At times today. Maybe we'll get a little bit of sunshine. I don't know. Rain at times today, at any rate. That's straight from the Weather Bureau, with no ad-libbing from me. Showers tonight. Decreasing showers and partial clearing periods on Friday. Highs in the mid-40s, lows tonight in the upper 30s. Wind southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour today. Chance of measurable precipitation near 100% today and 70% tonight. I don't know why they bothered to print a weather forecast for the rest of this week. It's been just about the same almost every day, with the exception of perhaps the wind velocity a little bit, maybe. Other than that, the weather forecast has been pretty much the same every day, hasn't it, huh? 50 degrees right now in downtown Portland. Quite a bit warmer, however, than it has been the last couple of nights. What was it? Last night it was down to 36 degrees, I guess, most of yesterday morning.